Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. This is the summer edition. The summer edition always highlights the call service of the fourth year students. And on the front is a newly called pastor. But what was very interesting on this one is that when you open up the inside, the next page is this full spread of Pastor Aaron and this unnamed woman. No, we know her name. It's Catherine. And so this is a full page spread, two pages they gave to this couple. And I thought that was pretty exciting to see Pastor Aaron. Why they didn't put him on the front, I don't know. But Pastor Aaron this weekend is in St. Louis. He also obviously went to this sem, but he's there for a different reason. His brother is was married on Saturday, and so he'll be returning later this week. And of course, Aaron was best man at that wedding. Pretty cool, pretty cool. This is our last installation of a message that is part of parable preaching. And parable preaching, what is that? We use that occasionally here at Christ the Shepherd. We take God's Word and we kind of present the Word of God with the background of one of our culture's stories. And it highlights the high life. I love that, high life with God. High life meaning a life with God that progressively is expanding and moving upward. Now, we do this periodically, and oft times the stories that we use as the background as parables are from movies. And so this series, as you know, we have been stuck with Tom Hanks. Now, first we were stuck with Tom Hanks on a deserted island in Castaway. Last week, we were stuck with him in outer space, Apollo 13. This week, we're stuck with Tom Hanks in an airport terminal. So it's called The Terminal. And The Terminal is a story loosely based on a true story about a man who for 18 years was stuck in Charles de Gaulle Airport, Paris, France. That was from 1988 through 2006. 18 years he lived in the Paris airport. Well, Tom Hanks plays a character named Viktor Navorsky. He's a Hungarian man, and in this adaptation of that true story, he's stuck not in Paris, but in New York City, at JFK Airport. And all we need is sound.
Thank you. Welcome, Mr. Navorsky. Purpose of your visit?
It's
business or pleasure?
English hit me in the nogu duba.
Sir, I have an IBIS hit on 6.
Mr. Navorsky, please follow me. All right, Mr. Navorsky, we would like for you to wait right here, please.
Please wait here. And Viktor Navorsky would begin a long, long, long period of waiting.
Navorsky, sorry to keep you waiting.
You're free to wait here. Sir, you told him to wait.
I wait. Wait.
Why do you wait here 2 hours every day when I've told you there's nothing I can do for you?
Yes, Cliff, I wait for your call the whole day.
I wait.
I've been waiting for a phone call for 7 years. I've been waiting my whole life.
He's home like you. They tell me to wait, so I wait.
Everybody's waiting.
No.
Everybody. you waiting for?
He waits for you to answer. Ed Simbaro.
I have to work.
He will wait.
I got tired of waiting.
He wait. Wait month, week, year. My father wait 40 years. You say you're waiting for something. I say to you, yes, yes. We all wait.
What are you waiting for?
Ah. We all wait. We all wait. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? If you didn't get time during the beautiful prelude to reflect on that, I want you to do that with me now. What are you waiting for? We all wait. We all wait. Now, I don't want you to think of kind of minor things. Are we not all waiting for the heat to break? Oh, my goodness gracious, yes. No, I want you to think about what you're waiting for in terms of the big issues and matters of your life. I want you to think about what you're waiting for in terms of maybe some relationships. I want you to think about what you're waiting for in terms of seasons of your life. And I want you to know that this parable, the terminal, is a curious story about waiting. And I would say waiting is something that we don't like, and waiting is something that we're really not good at. Do we like to wait? I don't like to wait. I ask myself, and I want you to ask it too, of what does the good life consist? What is the good life? Is it waiting or is it doing? Is it waiting for something or is it being in the moment? And my answer to that question, and it's probably your answer, is for me, the good life is doing things. It's being in the moment of things. It's if I can use myself as an example, it's being a good follower of Jesus. It's being a good husband, a good dad, a good pop-pop. It's being a good neighbor, a good citizen, a good friend. It's doing things. It's working. It's serving. It's playing hard. It's doing things to accomplish them, things to experience them. My life should consist of being and doing. That's a normal view of the good life, isn't it? I mean, we live in Atlanta. There's so much to do. Who likes to wait? How many of you try to eliminate as much waiting as possible? Isn't it all of us? You know, when I make a dental or doctor's appointment, I always ask the receptionist for that date when I can be the first appointment of that dentist or doctor. Because then I'm pretty sure I'm not going to have to wait. Waiting implies that things are on hold or postponed. I don't like waiting. And we're not good at waiting. The word ever, E-V-E-R, the word ever is an adverb. It means constantly escalating, if you will, constantly going forward. And so we use it with verbs. And I want you to attach feelings to the following phrases that use the adverb ever, and just feel it for a second, okay? Will I ever get home? 400 is a parking lot. You ever said that? Will I ever get a word in edgewise in this conversation? How does that make you feel? Young people, will I ever get my first smartphone? Will I ever get my driver's license? How about some of you? Will I ever get a call back from this doctor with the report? Will I ever get married? Will I ever get pregnant? Will I ever get better? Will I ever see you again? We're not good at waiting. Not good at all.
Headed for home?
No. I am delayed a long time.
Anybody here feel like they are delayed a long time? When we wait, we can get irritated. Irritation can be frustration, and frustration can be infuriation. Who wants to wait? We're not good at waiting. We can worry while we wait. We can get angry while we wait. We get bewildered. What's going on in my life? Because we are delayed a long time. This whole movie is about waiting. I kind of did a word search of the script, and the word wait is used 85 times in this movie. That's once every 2 minutes in terms of the movie. In the terminal, everybody is waiting. There's the obligatory guy who's the mystery man waiting for someone to fall in love with him. There's another guy who's waiting to retire, and then on the other side is a man who's waiting to take his place. There's a woman who's waiting for this lover to divorce his wife so she can become the lover. And of course, everybody is waiting for the next flight. It is delayed a long time. But wait! No, it's early, but you gotta come on. But wait! There's Victor Navorsky, and he's waiting for something. The mystery of what he's waiting for seems to be attached to this planner's peanut can. We don't know what he's waiting for. We do know, though, that his manner of waiting is in contrast, direct contrast to everybody else who is waiting around him. Victor Navorsky is delayed a long time. But if you think about how he waits and why he waits, well, then you'll see that marked contrast to how other people wait in the movie, to how you and I sometimes negotiate waiting. First, I want you to note the how. How Victor waits. He does not waste the wait. Remember, he lands at JFK, and he has no money, he has no friends, he has no English. The poor guy is in this airport, told to wait and then forgotten about, and he's starting to get hungry. So how does he go about earning his bread? Well, just watch.
I'm Enrique Cruz. We need to talk. I want to make a deal with you.
What deal? What?
I need information on CBP officer Torres. You feed me information about her, and I'll feed you.
What do you want? No.
You see her every day.
Yes.
I want to know what makes her knees weak. What makes her blood boil, her body tingle. She's a wild stallion. You'll help me break her. I'm her man of mystery.
Officer Torres is wild stallion.
Her name is Dolores.
Yes.
So, you help me to win her heart and you'll never go hungry again.
I do this.
Really?
Yes.
Promise?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
What do you mean, wild stallion?
He does not waste the weight. More and more in our country, if you're hungry, we expect somebody else to feed you. He goes right to work, and there's a whole myriad number of ways that he's starting to etch out a living in this airport. And one of them is to be this matchmaker between Enrique and Dolores. How creative he is while waiting. And if you haven't seen the movie yet, too bad. It's been around too long. So here's what happens. They get married right there in the airport. But I want you to be aware of something. Waiting can make you sour. It can make you a sour puss. You see, a lot of times when we're waiting, we put everything else on hold. And then, because it doesn't happen, we are delayed a long time, we get more and more antsy and fidgety and restless and we get sour in our attitude. Pretty soon, if it's a big thing, we say, well, why should I care about anything else? Poor me, I have to wait. But Victor doesn't waste his wait. While he's waiting, and he's waiting, he starts to improve the environment. And this is why we love Tom Hanks, right? Now listen, not only is he creative in using his wait, but while he's waiting, he's just going to go ahead and improve his environment, what's around him. Not only does he creatively use the wait and improve that environment, he also works for justice and mercy. Now, a fellow Bulgarian comes in, and this young man comes in from Canada. He's carrying medicines for his dad. His dad is dying, and these meds can help him. And so he comes in with these meds, but he doesn't know the rules of entry into the United States. And you can't bring in medicines from foreign countries like this. So they're going to confiscate these meds. And they because he can't speak English, they bring in Victor Navorsky. Navorsky knows the rules. And he has a heart for mercy as he applies those rules to the situation.
Why are you doing this? Huh? You don't know him. You don't know the rules. Look at me. I was going to help you.
Now, I want you to ask him.
Not you. I want you to ask him. I want to hear him say it. I want to hear him say who the medicine is for. Please, who the medicine is for.
Иска да знае за кого е лекарството.
Answer, Mr. Milodragovich. Who are the pills for? Okay, the pills stay, he goes. That's it.
Come on now, let's go.
Easy. Take it easy, come on.
Coach. It is for God. It is for God. It is for God. It is for God.
Give him the pills.
It is for God.
Victor did know the rules, but above the rules, he doesn't forget his humanity. He invites mercy into these situations. And while he's kind of earning his keep in the airport, while he's improving the airport while he waits there, while he comes upon situations where he can express mercy to other human beings and bless them, he falls in love. Of course he does. It's a movie. And it's with an attendant who just frequents JFK, and he helps her, and he counsels her, and he treats her with respect, and with a little help from his friends that he's developed inside the airport, he prepares a magnificent dinner for him, her, including a table with a view.
Would you like to have eat a bite food tonight?
You're asking me out for dinner?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what time?
Dinner time.
Where do you want to go?
Find no place.
Mm-hmm.
have an appointment.
Navorsky?
This way, please.
This is about the cutest movie of Tom Hanks' career, I think, because there's only one table, and of course he has a reservation and an appointment and the like. Here's the deal. He really loves this woman, and yet he doesn't demand her love back. He always treats her with respect. He never tries to corner her or trap her or abuse her. It's quite a movie about a person who is waiting and delayed a very long time. And I believe that, as a parable, it points us to life, the high life, in the kingdom of God. Christians, we are to wait like Victor Navorsky. He doesn't waste his wait. He is creative. He improves his environment. He shows mercy. His relationships are full of balance and respect and consideration. He doesn't waste his wait. Here's our vulnerability. Our vulnerability is to get weary and dreary in waiting and so forget how we are to use our times of waiting. Just a thought. Life can get weary and dreary. I wake up, I brush my teeth, I get ready, I go to work, I work my time, I commute home, I make dinner, I eat dinner, maybe I watch a show, maybe I play a video game, whatever, I brush my teeth, I go to bed. I wake up. I brush my teeth. Can you see where this is going?
Yep.
This can happen. And we can kind of get stuck in a weary and dreary kind of existence. We can start to feel like this. Like we're on that hamster wheel. Solomon, the preacher of Ecclesiastes, says, all things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. Now listen carefully. Because you know that you have the antidote to that verse from Ecclesiastes. And here's your antidote. Your antidote is, that's why I spice my life up with all kinds of cool activities and things to do and places to go and experiences to have so I don't fall into that hamster trap weariness and dreariness that you're saying people experience. Well, good for you. But let me just tell you about all those spicy things that you put into your life to escape the weary and dreary kind of existence. You have experienced often that your anticipation of something that you've planned, that you're excited about, often that anticipation is much greater than the actual experience. And do you know why? Because every single experience that you use to spice up your life always comes to an end. It comes to an end. And when it comes to an end on that day that you have to go back to, brushing your teeth, dressing, you feel the letdown. This is what Solomon understands. And it hits you sooner or later. It kind of indicates that things in this world just can't quite satisfy. First Peter teaches us how we are to wait. According to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And I would like to say to you that there's one experience that will never be eclipsed by the anticipation of it. And that's the new heaven and the new earth where righteousness dwells. And so Peter tells us to be Victor Navorsky's. To be very, very diligent in the time of waiting that we call life on this earth. Be diligent. Be diligent in being creative, in improving the communities in which we live, work, and play, in showing mercy, and in addressing relationships with respect. Be diligent, and then be at peace. Be at peace. A shalom. And we'll get to why in just a second. The Bible calls this, and Victor is a good example of it, redeeming the time. You have so much time, God calls on you to redeem that time. Not just to kill time for those little spiced things that you set into your life, but to redeem the time. I couldn't show you all the clips I wanted to, but Victor Navorsky does so well at not wasting the wait that almost every airport worker comes to love him, because he's constantly blessing people in wonderful ways and sometimes sacrificially touching them. He becomes kind of a folk hero in that airport. Everybody knows him. But even more important than how we wait is why we wait. Victor's why for his waiting is his fuel. It's his motivation for how he waits. And here's the cool thing. Why Victor waits keeps him from never losing sight that he is waiting. I need you to look at that on the screen. Why Victor waits keeps him from never losing sight that he is waiting. All his involvements and experiences in the airport that we've kind of depicted does not bring him to the point where he forgets that he is waiting. And the mystery of why he is waiting, it's contained in that planner's peanut can. And the mystery disclosed looks like...
You're living here, Victor. You're living at gate 67. I just want to know why.
I assure you.
Oh, God, Victor, please tell me your father isn't in that peanut can.
This is Jazz. My father, Dmitry Senov Navorsky, see this photograph in Hungarian newspaper, 1958. He said he looked at the photograph for 7 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Who are they?
Oh, Count Basie, Dizzy Gillespie, Thelonious Monk, Sonny Rollins, Art Blakey, Max Kaminsky. 57 of them all together. After looking at the photograph for 7 days, my father, yes, I did. He began to write letters to Club New York, Ligeti Split, Snooki's Sugar Bowl. He asked the nuns to write English hundreds. Letters. And then he waited. He waited month, week, year. My father waited 40 years. And they all signed names. One by one. I promise I will go to New York find Benny Golson, give him right name to Putinkin.
And he'd been living here all this time so you could do this for your father.
Maybe I think he'd do it for me.
His waiting is couched in that relationship with his father. He still has something to do for his father, one last autograph. Now, just apply this as Christians. Like Victor, this planet called Earth, our terminal is not terminal for us. We are delayed maybe a long time. But the gospel brings us good news. We have a why for our waiting. And then the ultimate why is that this is not our home. Here's our vulnerability, though. While stuck on our terminal called planet Earth, we forget that everything around us is really just temporary. This isn't, folks, we need to remember this in our living. That all of this around us is temporary. This isn't our final home. Victor was not thinking that airport was to be his final home. Krakosia, that was his home. Heaven is our home. And when you become a Christian, you recognize this. It is what the gospel brings into your life. You're a non-citizen visitor on this planet. And the Bible says that our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, our heads may be down because we're working to improve our environment. We're working creatively to make a living. We're blessing people as we go. Our heads might be down, our hands might be busy, but our spirits are always looking upwards. If we can remember why we are waiting, then we won't forget that we are waiting. And that will make how we are waiting very, very different from the desperation of the world's waiting. If you're stuck in traffic on 400 or wherever, be creative. Make sure you're listening to a podcast that educates you. If not that, be thinking in your mind how you're going to bless the people in your home when you enter after that dismal waiting period in traffic. How you're going to bless each one. If you're waiting to go home, find how to improve this environment that we live in now. Maybe help somebody into a home temporarily through a Habitat home. Find places where you can be merciful and bless others. Victor's peanut can was always with him. What do we carry with us always? The promise of our God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We wait in the promise of Him who is willing to wait for us and is willing to wait on us. Closing thoughts here. Often in Jesus' ministry, do you know what He would say? No, the hour has not yet come. It's not my time. And all through His ministry, He waited very, very patiently. What was He waiting for? He was waiting to go to the cross so that you might have the gift of a future and a hope. And isn't it interesting that, in a way, He's willing to wait on us even now? Sometimes patiently for a person who hasn't come to Jesus Christ and asked for forgiveness. But for all of us who have received Jesus as Savior, He is still willing to wait on us. The Scriptures talk in parable form. Jesus says, stay ready for action. I'm like the bridegroom or the master, and I'm coming home from the wedding feast, and be ready at the door and welcome me when I come. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. So our waiting is connected to our relationship with God, our Father, through Jesus Christ. We know that. But have you ever thought about what Jesus says next? Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. This blows me away. This is Jesus saying, when you come home to heaven, I'm going to have you recline and I'm going to serve you. How much we must be loved. Victor is stuck in that terminal. He had something to finish for his dad. It reminds me that we're stuck here in a way because we have something yet to do for our Father, and that's to share the promise that we now carry with us like Victor carried that can. But Victor knows when that task is over, he knew what was next.
Sign your name, please.
Oh, well, I tell you, can I do it a little later? We have to get started now. Just a minute.
Oh, I will wait.
Then, and only then, will the Father's taxi cab pull up to the curb, and we'll get in, and we will say with joy, I am going home. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. I'd like for us, before heading to communion, to just take 2 minutes to reflect on the scriptures and how they inform our waiting and how it can transform those times when we are delayed for a very long time. We declare ourselves to be Easter people.
We have come to share in the